Amen.
And to be able to lift up his precious name. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for each and every one of you.
Oh, yes.
Amen. So we kind of set in an automated system here today to handle our overhead. We had automated just a bit. Brother Ron will be seeking some additional support in the area of working with multimedia.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll try to get some more things. We'll try to make as much stuff as automatic as possible. Amen. But we thank God for letting us be here this morning. Amen. Thank him that all of you are here.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Because it is always a blessing. Amen. So without any further delay, see, I think I sent all of my things away. Because either I keep one for me, probably not. Okay, I can pull it up here. That's okay. I'll just use this one. No, I think I'll do this today. I'll go ahead. Because we did get connected so that we can. This is straight from the website. Amen.
Yes.
And so we can put it up on the screen. Amen. Right off of teachingbible.net. Amen. So we thank God. We will always come up with a way. God will make a way.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yes, he will.
Amen. So we are blessed to be in the sanctuary. And as you know, those of you who have been sojourning with us, we have been working our way through the epistle to the Romans. Mm-hmm. And we have actually gotten to the last chapter, which is a very, very terribly interesting chapter in the book of Romans. It's kind of like somewhat of a closing chapter in the book, and it has some very prolific features.
Yes.
And I want you to see how this Old Testament text from the epistle, actually it's the book of Isaiah. I always go into that term epistle. Every time I think of Isaiah, I think of him as a gospel writer in the Old Testament. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Because he talks as much about the gospel as anyone. We can say that's true of Moses, it's true of Jeremiah, it's true of all the Old Covenant prophets. Mm-hmm. Because you'll see tucked in there that God has always wanted to and always did along the way save Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Jews were the chosen people, the covenant people, kind of like it is today with the church. Even though we are the church, God is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
There isn't a person anywhere on the planet practicing anything that God doesn't wish to save.
That's right.
No matter who they are. And that includes the Jews who are now apostate.
Right.
Against
yes.
the Lord. They have turned against him. They have rejected his son.
Yeah.
He has never rejected them at any time.
That's right.
That's why John said he came to his own and his own received him not.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Yes.
But to as many as received him. That means even of his own. To them gives he the right to be called the children of God. Even those that believe on his name. So he is not rejecting them, although they are rejecting him.
Yes.
And that's true of everyone else, be they Jew or Gentile. If you have rejected Christ, God has not rejected you. He has given you opportunity to trust him. And he has given his son to pay your entire bill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that I could be here, or anyone else for all that matters in this room, but I'm only going to speak for myself today. You know I'm not a stained glass saint, if you will. I haven't
yes.
done everything perfectly.
Amen.
I don't do stuff right all the time. I try very hard. I'm living up to the highest standard that I can that God has brought me to.
Amen.
But if I had to stand on my own works,
Amen.
I'm sure I would fail in
Amen.
The sight of a holy God.
That's right.
And the only reason I can stand is that the holy God knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified on my behalf. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised
yes.
for my iniquities. He was chastised for my peace.
Mm-hmm.
And by his stripes I am healed. If you can say that, then you're in the same family as me.
Yes. Yes.
And you're not trusting yourself or your own good works, but you're leaning and depending entirely on the living God who is able to raise the dead.
Yes.
And he's the only one who is able to raise the dead. A lot of kind of people are telling us they have something spiritual for us.
Yes.
But whatever it is you have, you don't have the cure to death.
That's right.
The only one who has the cure to death is Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
The only one that allowed death to come upon him, took it upon himself to taste that bitter cup for the sin of humanity, went in the grave to pay the bill that you and I owe, and then got up on the third day morning with all power, declaring all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so if you don't have the solution to that problem, then whatever you have that you call religion is pretty fickle, and it's going to falter, you know, because this life, as we can see, the only thing that is certain, they say, are death and taxes. You know, and I don't know about the taxes, because I know some people are evading taxes. They may not get away long, but the fact is, death is certain. We know that for 100% sure. Amen. Even though some people are able to skip and get a loophole to get out of the taxes, it seems like. We have enough money, you know. But in either case, we're not going to talk about that today. But we have come to the conclusion of the book of Romans. We won't finish it today. It looks like we'll be here at least for another Sunday. Amen. But I have enjoyed our trek through the book, and I hope you have too. Yes. So since we have arrived in this final chapter of our study in the epistle to the Romans, we can see the importance of a great fellowship and its lateral and practical relationships that were the standard of Paul, who is the writer of this letter, and his earliest converts to Christ, because he went around after, and think about that, think about Paul himself, who was Jewish, born in a Jewish family. He said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He knew exactly what tribe he came from. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He came out of a pure-blooded Hebrew family. He says, as touching the law, found blameless. This comes from Philippians 3. He said, I was blameless, walking in all the precepts of the law. You know, and so in other words, by that standard of the law which they had taken, he met every standard.
Yes.
He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, he says, and studied under one of the highest doctors of the law, of Moses at that time. But he said he counted all that but rubbish. The King James says dung, scubalon, nothing but waste, human excrement, we would say.
Yes.
You see, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. See that? So he says, "What? It's not that what I used to do was okay and this is better. He says, what I used to do is of no value whatsoever.
No.
But Christ is the only thing that is of value, our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So it was him who said that. He came out of that hard Judaistic background and became the apostle to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Of all things. And so we see him turn 180 degrees, and he began to serve the Gentile churches and go out into areas where no one had heard the gospel. And so today we're going to talk about the impact of relationships with practical people, and that means anybody, no matter who you are. Doesn't make any difference what kind of people you are. You know what? All people really are about the same. You know, and they always talk about this coexist and all that. We look at that thing. I said, you don't have any choice but to coexist, not unless you're going to leave the planet. If you want to go to Mars somewhere, maybe you don't have to coexist, you know, because nobody else over there. But if you're on here, you do have to coexist. We don't have a problem with that at all. You know, that's self-explanatory. That didn't even need to be wasted onto a bumper sticker.
That's right.
You have no choice but to coexist. You know, but that doesn't mean that you're right.
That's right.
Amen. The only one I've seen in the whole period of existence that defeated death is Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
And so we preach the resurrection of Christ. Christ crucified, buried, and risen.
Mm-hmm.
He is the only one that has the right answer, therefore.
The only one.
Confucius is still in the grave, right?
That's right.
Muhammad is in the grave. We could go on and on. Buddha is in the grave. Every person who said they had, even some of the folks who tried other approaches, Stalin, name somebody, they're in the grave.
In the grave.
The only one got up out of the grave is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
So he is the only one with the right answer.
The only one.
And I say that boldly and proudly. And if you don't believe it, check it out. God configured the world around Jesus Christ. It's 2015 because of Christ, all over the planet.
Yes.
Right. You know, it's 2015 because Jesus was born 2015 years ago, all over the world.
Amen.
Even in space. I think the space station's got a clock up there, or some kind of an automatic clock, but it's ticking off time based on when Christ was born.
That's right.
And so everything is centered on Christ, whether people like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So Saul of Tarsus learned that. He thought he could be right by keeping the law, but he found out that was not so. And he also found out that God had concealed in the Word. It wasn't really very concealed. And I have to be careful, because you and I see it only because we've been filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit must make you understand that what God wrote through the Old Testament prophets was always about the salvation of all people.
Always.
But But the Jews had built a wall saying that the Jews are one thing and the other people are another thing. And that's a good thing to have somewhat of a separation from the people, because God does want us to be sanctified. He does want us to be holy.
Right.
He does want us to be set apart from other people.
Yeah.
But he is not excluding anyone. That's the thing we have to remember. The gospel is the only universal message of all the ones on the planet. See, because it says no matter who you are, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, we include all those coexist people, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The problem is, what are you going to do about perishing?
All right.
What are you going to do about the grave? That's the question behind that statement. And the answer is, Jesus Christ defeated the grave so that you don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
See, only one got up with all power in his hands after 3 days and nights. The only one. They went, the tomb was empty. All they had to do to cancel Christianity was produce a corpse. There was no corpse.
That's right. Amen.
You know, they could have started singing Santana. I ain't got nobody that I can depend on. They didn't have nobody. Nobody. They could not bring him up because he was not there.
Amen.
See, and of course, I'm not trying to be facetious here this morning.
No, that's real.
But the fact is, the fact that Christ was not there, that's the reason you and I preach.
Amen.
We're preaching the gospel because it's good news that there is a solution to the grave.
All right.
The grave is a horrible thing. Very scary.
Yeah.
Scares the daylights out of people. But you know what? You're not scared if you know there's an answer.
That's right.
You lose that fear. That fear goes away. Because Jesus Christ defeated the grave.
Yes.
And you and I will rise from the dead who trust in him.
Yes.
And so notice what it says here. I'm just going to go ahead and read this today, since this is a special series here. You can stay in your seats. Realize this. Isaiah wrote about this a long time ago. Isaiah 60 in verse 1. It's up on the screen there for those of you who are in the sanctuary. Or if you're on the internet, it's on your screen too. In either case, arise, he says. First word. Shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Look how Isaiah is talking about rising up. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. Now that term, the peoples, could be translated Gentiles, or all the people. In other words, inclusive of Jews, Gentiles, everyone on the earth. But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. The glory of God is going to appear upon his son after he has risen from the dead and defeated death in the grave. Now notice what it says here, verse number 2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. You see that? But the Lord will rise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. Nations, that's the word goyim in the Hebrew, Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying the kings of the world will know that my son is risen. Lift up your eyes round about and see.
Yes.
They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations, some translations say Gentiles, will come to you. So God has always promised that the wealth, the abundance of the sea here speaks of the sea of humanity.
Uh-huh. All right.
That people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people will come to the glorious light of Christ.
Yeah.
That's why John said when he saw a vision in the book of Revelation, that I looked and I saw a number coming up before God which no man could number.
Mm-hmm.
It was the number of all the people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people coming before the Lord.
Amen.
You see that? And so there will be one judge when it's all done, and his name is Jesus.
Jesus.
God has given all judgment into the hands of the Son, the Bible declares. And so, and the reason this is important is I want you to see in our New Testament passage as we look at the book of Romans. I see I might have a heat overload here. But in either case, if in the book of Romans, we have this situation here. We have the first 16 verses. The Apostle Paul is writing to a number of people who are folks in the church that have basically... just general old everyday people,
mm-hmm.
we would say. Now, don't get me started on everyday people. I used to love that song, too. But in either case, this is not anyone but regular old everyday people. And you'll notice that most of the list are names that are actually, these are kind of not Jewish names, the names that we have in the list that Paul writes here. But we have a list of people who are primarily Greek. In other words, non-Jewish people, okay? And it says, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Phoebe is the name of this lady. And the term servant here, just so you know, is the feminine name of the word deacon, or deacon, diakonos is the word. And so in other words, this is the only use of the feminine word for deacon in the Bible. So it is suggested that she was a servant, and is translated servant because diakonos means servant.
All right.
You see? So a deacon, he is a servant of the church.
Amen.
The deacons who we have here were set in place, and of course this has always been since Acts 6, to be servants of the church. In other words, they are to take up peripheral work that the church does to take the load off of the pastor.
Amen.
So that the pastor can concentrate on the word of God and prayer. And so the deacons primarily are servants to the church. They are to serve the church, anything it needs that pertains to practical things in the church. And basically that is, as we say, to lift the load off of the pastor so the pastors can be dedicated to prayer.
Amen.
And to the word of God, because that's the important thing in the church, is prayer and the word of God. You and I have to be, we need someone to pray on our behalf. We need a shepherd.
Oh, yes.
And the shepherds will lead us to the truth and keep us on track, keep us in check, teach us the word, feed us the word of God.
Amen.
And the deacons are the servants who make that more possible, more easy for the pastors to do. And so what I want you to see here is he talks about Phoebe here. She is a diakonos, which is a female. We would translate deaconess. Some of your translations may say deaconess right there. I don't know which translation you have. King James just uses the word servant, and the NASB uses the word servant here. And she is at the church of Cenchrea, which is one of the Gentile churches. He says, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. So she was apparently a deaconess that went about doing service to the church in various locations. And maybe she was dispatched from the church at Cenchrea, as it says here, to go out, because people often sent Paul help, as you know. Some of you who studied New Testament, you know, the Philippian church sent Epaphroditus to bring Paul an offering while he was imprisoned in Rome. And the Philippian letter is a receipt for that offering. The entire letter he writes back to thank them for the receipt of their offering. And so here we see that Phoebe was sent. Now many believe that Phoebe was given this letter to the Romans to deliver it to the church, because Paul was still basically in bondage along the way, and he sent the letter before he arrived. And he refers to that somewhere throughout the letter. And so it's possible that Phoebe the deaconess was the one who delivered this letter to the church at Rome.
All right.
And so he's telling them there to help her along her way, because she herself has been a helper of many, and of myself as well, in verse number 2. Now moving to 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Now we know them, Prisca, that would be found in the book of Acts chapter 18. It was Aquila and Priscilla,
right,
who were basically servants with Paul there in the Athens and on the continent of Macedonia and at Corinth. And so he mentions them here. And this is why I'm saying these are just practical people.
Wow.
Everyday people, if you will. He ran into some everyday people.
Everyday.
And he mentions them here in the epistle as he makes closure to the letter to the Romans. He says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks. You see that?
Wow.
They put their neck on the line, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. See that? Now moving on, verse 5, also greet the church that is in their house. So people held church in their homes at this time, because there was no necessarily established local fellowships like what we use today. So the church started off in the houses of people who love Christ. And so he says, send them a greeting. Now these are regular old practical everyday people. And that's where the church was founded. You know what? It should still be like that. Mm-hmm. There should be a household spirit, a spirit of that we are in one family, one body, that we live together, we spread this gospel, we have some commonality, some fellowship together. And the fellowship of the church is a very terribly important thing. Amen. So we thank God for that. Now let's read on just a little bit. And I wanted you to get the gist of the flow of this because the impact of relationships with practical people is what really is at the very heart of the church. And there's some things that I'm going to show you that just jump out of this after you read through it. Now a lot of these names were weird. That's the reason I decided to just go through this. I don't want to put that load on the deacons this morning without having them read these strange things. Some of them are strange to me too. But look on here now. Verse number five. He says, also greet the church that is in her house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who was the first convert to Christ from Asia. See that? So this is a regular old guy. This is no big wig or anything. Nobody with a big notoriety is Epaphroditus, regular old Epaphroditus from up the street. Now they would probably say Landis is a weird name if they heard it, you know. And so we're laughing at Epaphroditus here. But in either case, notice it says, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. And Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners. They were locked up with him. A couple of old jail buddies, if you will.
Yep.
See, just practical, old, everyday people. And he's putting this in the letter to the Romans. He says, and who were outstanding among the apostles. He said they were fellow prisoners with him, but they were outstanding among the apostles. See that?
Follow.
Who also were in Christ before me. So they had some fellowship with maybe Peter and James and John, some of the other apostles. And they were locked up for it. And they're moving on like that just passes right by. No mention of anything about it except that they were fellow prisoners with me. You see that?
Yes.
It amazes me how just basic this whole thing is as he writes it. And then notice that, who were outstanding among the apostles. That sticks out. Greet Ampelitus, he says, who beloved in the Lord. Ampelitus, it could be pronounced perhaps. Greet Urbanus, and our fellow worker in Christ. And Stages, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ, and greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. See that? These are regular old everyday people. That's the whole thing I want you to see here. It didn't say meet Saint so-and-so and Father such-and-such and most right reverend this, that, or the other. None of that is there. Just the absence of it is what blew me away. It's these relationships of practical people.
That's it.
Just everyday people.
Amen.
Who are, he's talking about it. Regular old folks trusted Christ. They believed in him. They were saved. They started the church. They continued the work of the church. They went into the world to the rest of the Gentiles to minister the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. See? And these are not scholars in Greek philosophy, or these are not people who are steeped in Hebrew and all of that. This is regular, practical, oh, everyday people who he mentions here. Most of these, as you can see. Now notice what it says. Moving on, verse 11. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus. We get that word narcissistic. That means stuck on yourself. Basically, so we don't know what issues he had that they named him that, but he says, who are in the Lord, and then he says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. That might be like Shanae and whoever else are they. You know how we have all these names, these regular old folks. You see that? He says, greet Perseus and my beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Didn't say what they did, but these people worked hard to get the word out, the gospel. See that?
Yes.
Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, it says, and his mother and mine. Now we know that's not his physical mother. That's just like we have mothers in the church, you know, that he latched on to her, like I would say about some of our mothers here. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So these are practical everyday relationships in the church. Greet Asyntrichus and Phalagon and Hermes and Patrobus and Hermes, and he's going down a whole list of folks here. And greet Phygellus, Philogelus, he says, and Julius. Nereus, I don't know how you say that one, Nereus, and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. See, these are regular, old, common, practical, everyday people.
Wow. Yeah.
Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. See that? All of those are just common, old, everyday people. And so we see that the Old Testament prophesied the time when Gentile salvation would become pervasive. That's what Isaiah meant when he said the sea will be converted to you. The sea of humanity will all come to you.
Yes.
And kings at the brightness of thy rising. The name of Christ is the most famous name, and it's up to you and me to spread it to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
And so we've been given that privilege. Just like those people, we're regular old everyday people. Regular old Larry and Ron and Clarence and just regular old folks, you see. And we're here in the house of the Lord, and it's our good pleasure to be blessed by him and to spread his gospel as far as we can.
Amen.
You know, it didn't say anything. Notice he didn't say it. I ain't St. Paul, the anointed apostle. None of that. It's just I'm regular old Paul. You see, he didn't have people slithering up the carpet to kiss his ring, all that kind of stuff. None of that. You don't see anything like that here in this letter. It says, me, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. You understand that? And so that, to me, that just is awesome that he's writing this like, oh, okay, tell Aquila and Priscilla I said hello, what's up?
Wow.
You know, it's just common everyday relationships and the impact of those relationships with practical people that spreads the gospel through the world.
Amen.
As one tells another, and he tells his cousin, and he brings his brother, and it just moves on. And it's something to be down to earth. It's not anything to be something that is like some high lofty position. So as we see, now based on the names of most of these people Paul greets in this chapter, it can be understood that many were members of churches of that time, and they were Gentiles, and that Paul's calling to serve Gentiles was working out tremendously. It was going everywhere. All kinds of people were passing the word. And then we can see that Paul speaks across to the people. He didn't talk down to anybody.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'm Paul the anointed apostle and blah, blah, blah. Trying to take a bunch of titles. He wasn't doing that, was he?
Mm-hmm.
He speaks across like brother to brother.
Yes.
To all these people, not down. He doesn't speak
That's
down
right.
to them. And so we can come to see the important impact of relationships with practical people were of the utmost of importance and were quite different than previous relationships that were formed with the practical people than other so-called religious leaders. For example, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had it where if you were a woman, you had to walk so many steps behind us. And he talks to Phoebe and all the rest of the ladies like on a one-on-one relationship.
Yeah.
Even somebody else, like you notice so many times you could look in the New Testament and see where the Pharisees try to elevate themselves and get up on a pedestal up higher, and we're all that in the bag of chips. When we come in, you all just bow down, and you know, they put themselves on some kind of a pedestal like they were something. You know, and God never intended that.
No.
And you can see it in the narrative in Matthew 23 where Jesus blasted them for going around with flowing robes and all that kind of stuff, trying to put themselves on some level way above the people. You know, and he said, don't do that. Call no man on your earth father, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven, he says in the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9, if you want to look there for reference. So I just want you to see that it is practical people, everyday people that are basically the ones here in view, and the relationships we have with one another and that we build with other people are basically a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
And we should keep that in mind. The church is made up of common, everyday people who trust God, that believe that he sent his son to pay your bill entirely.
Yes.
And that has been done. It was acceptable to the Father.
Yeah.
You know how we know it was acceptable? Everything had been done to Jesus that could be done.
Yes.
And yet, after all that, he was still not dead.
Model.
He took it all. He took everything they had to dish out. And not only from man, not only from the Pharisees, not only from the Romans, not only from the Gentiles, but he took the blast of the wrath of God.
Amen.
Which is really the more important one.
Amen.
God forsook him on the cross.
Amen.
Turn his back.
Model.
See, because of the sin that he was carrying, which was mine. And God turned away and let him suffer and hang there. You know what? It didn't kill him. Why not? Because he himself had committed no sin. And then after all that was done, and he had cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know what he did? It says he commended his spirit into the hands of the Father.
Yes, he did. Amen.
He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.
Amen.
See, he dismissed a perfect spirit with no blemish, no spot, no wrinkle, no sin to God. And by that, God was satisfied. That's what he needed, was one unblemished, unspotted spirit. That's what he made when he made Adam, is one unblemished, unspotted spirit.
That's right.
And Adam blew it, so all of us are in the pit of sin. So Jesus, the last Adam, came and he offered that perfect spirit back to God that he had given in the first place. And therefore God is satisfied with whosoever believes in him.
Yes.
And so if you're in that group, that's the only reason we're right, is because we trust in Christ. He is the only one that paid the debt. He is the only one that received the wrath of God on your behalf. He's the only one that ever loved us that much.
That's right. Amen.
You know what I think about my mother and all the people in my life that loved me? They loved me the best they could.
Yes.
But they couldn't love you that much. They didn't have the capacity to love you like this.
That's right.
But God sent his son to love you in a special way. In a unique way that only he can do. And he loves you that much. So don't ever say, oh, nobody loves me. We get in our little pity sometimes. God loves you.
Yes, he does.
Jesus loves you.
Yes, he does.
And within the body of Christ, we're going to love you too. When you come here, we're going to shoulder up with you to help you make it through whatever you have to deal with.
Amen.
Because we got issues too, every one of us. And we're just happy that he loved us like that and blessed us with the gift of salvation.
Yes.
So we can know for sure
that
we are saved. Amen. So we have nothing to do but rejoice. I want to invite you today, if you happen to be here and you have not united with this practical body of believers, that you can do it today. If you're here, you may already be saved, and we might just you want to join a place of fellowship where people will understand you and can relate to you and what you're going through. And if that's the case and that's you today, we invite you to come.
Yes, we do.
Because God loves you and we accept you just like you are, no matter what you're going through. Amen. And it is our privilege to offer this to you, this that God has given us. Amen. And we hope you see the practicalness of that part of Romans 16. Just regular old everyday folks that love God, that accept his free gift of salvation. And that is available for you. We'd like to ask you to come at this time. We're going to sing a little song there. Come to Jesus while you have time. Come to Jesus, make up your mind. We will make your life brand new. He will take care of you.
Glory, hallelujah.
Come to Jesus while you have time. Amen. We give the Lord praise. We see that there are none.
Yes.
But yet there is room, and we thank God for you being here. We hope that you got a good idea out of the message, because that's something that I think it kind of blessed me to look at that. I just looked at it and said, look at this. This is regular old folks, everyday people that got saved. And Paul said, hey, what's up with Prisca and Priscilla? And he started naming all folks regular old people. I mean, they worked in the church. They were the instrumental by God to help get the good news out. And that's what we want you to do. Same thing.
Yes.
Be a good neighbor. Be a good co-worker. Be a good friend to somebody who's struggling and doesn't know the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
And help them out.
Amen.
So that they can write you a letter. Hey, this is whoever, Sally Sue, and I'm writing you. And I hope everything is good with you. Amen.
Yes.
You know, but it doesn't take big shots or any of that. It just takes common everyday people spreading the word one to another.
Yes.
And that's beautiful to look there and see that. You know, he's talking about people, fellow workers. It was Aquila and Priscilla who straightened out Apollos. Apollos knew
that's
the Bible back and forth, but he didn't understand the Messiah.
Right.
And it says that they sat him down one day and showed him the way of God more perfectly from the scriptures. And he started to see it. He became a very powerful person in spreading the word. He was the Bible says that he was mighty in the scriptures. That blows me away.
Yes.
That Luke, Dr. Luke, who writes the book of Acts, said about Apollos, he was mighty in the scriptures. Imagine how deep that dude must have been.
Yes.
In the Old Testament. He could quote it like it was the back of his hand. See, but he didn't understand about the Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a high compliment if somebody said, oh, he's mighty in the scriptures.
Man, yes.
Oh boy, that's deep there. You know what I'm saying? But he was a regular old guy. And he was came from Alexandria.
Yeah.
And he helped spread the gospel through the Middle East. Amen. So we hope you do that. We hope that's your proud pleasure to share the good news God has invested in you. And it doesn't have to be, like I say, any kind of, you don't need a PhD degree.
Yes.
You know, although I have a PhD degree, I praise him daily, PhD. Praise him daily. But I want you to do that too. Praise him daily.
Yeah, and, my PhD.
That's right.
Quite a few of y'all got one you didn't know.
Amen.
All right now. We don't have the kind of Dr. Adams you got over. But and that's okay if you get one of them too, but remember to praise him daily.
Amen.
Amen. That's another one that you can have right now. All right. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. And we do thank you for your attention. We do have one more lesson in the book of Romans, and I have been enjoying working our way through this letter, and I hope you have too. If you have not had opportunity to study with us and you'd like to catch up on the lessons, you can do this. I'll show you right here. It's going to ask me now about my last thing. My computer overheated up here and shut down on me because this cover under here is not, and my fan is not working. Just go to... You can do it in a lot of ways. You can do this, sttmbc.org, and it will take you to the site where the messages are stored, right here. And we're going to be doing some changes to the website pretty soon. All you do is click on weekly sermons, and here is today's message, Impact of Relationships with Practical People. The audio will be attached to it later on today, and you'll be able to actually listen to the message again. So if you have friends in other parts of the world, you can send them the address or copy this link up here and just email it to them or something like that. Text it to them, whatever you like, and they'll be able to hear this very message you have enjoyed this morning. Amen. I'm hoping you enjoyed it.
Yes, we did.
Be the case.
Yes, we did.
And you can send it anywhere you like on the planet. Amen. Anywhere with an internet connection. Amen. So we thank God for that. And we're going to be continuing to upgrade our website.